This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
So today I'm joined by Monsignor Trevor Murray, a highly experienced and respected member of the clergy in the Hamilton Diocese, who has kindly agreed to share a bit about his life before and after priesthood, his experiences along the way, and his current roles. Welcome, Monsignor.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, as you're aware, this podcast is brought to you by the Hamilton Catholic Development Fund, the CDF, where we aim to provide our listeners with insight into how the CDF financially supports our bishop, and by extension his pastoral team, and how this generates tangible ripple results within the Hamilton Diocese. Monsignor, I understand you've been a priest for over 40 years, during which you've served in various places and roles. I'm sure you have many wonderful and interesting stories to share with the listeners. So if it's all right with you, I'd like to begin by asking you to share a bit about your background, how long you've been a priest, and your journey to the priesthood.
Sure. So I'm born and bred in Rotorua. I was brought up in a little village called Whakareoareoa, and I am one of 11 children. I'm the second born. From an early age, I was taken by my great-grandmother, so my mother's grandmother, and I was brought up by her for about 5 years. In that time, I still knew all of my own family. I knew my mum and dad, and we always had time together, but I was brought up by her. They were fantastic times. I really loved my time in Whakareoareoa. It was a great playground for children. Most of my friends were school friends, but also I was brought up among a whole lot of older people, my great-grandmother's friends. So it was a great mixture of young people and then very old people as well. A wonderful, wonderful experience. I am 44 years a priest. I was ordained in 1982 in Rotorua. And since then, I've had a really varied time in the diocese. My first appointment was in Whakatane. I went there as a deacon, in fact. And then after priesthood, I stayed on for another couple of years as assistant priest. My first parish priest was Father Frank O'Regan, and he was an amazing mentor. I still give thanks to God for the wonderful guidance he gave me. And he taught me so much about the necessity to be a priest who listens and who is empathetic, a priest who doesn't think he knows everything, which was difficult when I was just a young priest because we all thought we knew everything. But he was so good, and I just have to give thanks to God for that appointment. I was really blessed. Then after Whakatane, I was sent to the cathedral. And so I had a number of years there. And during the time there, I was working in the parish, yes. And like all of us there, we also had to do a stint at the Waikato Hospital as chaplain. So that was a very, very busy time. So often you'd be called out if you're on call. And normally the youngest priest was the one on call for the night duties. You could be called out at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. You could be called out a number of times in the one night. But I'd have to say it was just an amazing ministry. I loved hospital ministry way back then, and it certainly has changed now. I'm back in Hamilton as a hospital chaplain, and it certainly has changed. But way back then, I really loved it. I was placed in a number of other parishes, and then I was asked by Bishop Gaines to go to Rome to study and do postgraduate studies there. So I went to Rome in 1989 to do studies in liturgy. That was just a most incredible experience, to live in another culture, another language, to have all of your time spent with books and in libraries. So I, again, just so enjoyed the whole life of a student. It was so different from what I had been up till then as a priest. we had very little ministerial work. Most of our time was spent at university with books, libraries, writing, studying. But that had just so many benefits for me as well. Namely, that I got to know and appreciate the universal aspect of the church. Yes, we know it's called Catholic, and yes, we know that that word means universal. But when you're there with flesh and blood people from all over the world, with so many different experiences, different languages, it just makes so much sense. I was in a college called San Pietro, and it was a college, we were 150 students then, from mostly Africa, India. There are a couple of us from New Zealand, and then some from a few other countries. And that was, again, just wonderful to come to know people from other parts of the world, Catholic priests from other parts of the world.
And just a question there, was your study done in Italian or English?
It was in Italian. So as a prelude to taking up the studies, I went to a place in called Perugia, and it was a university to learn Italian. So that was a bit daunting. That was more than a bit daunting. But after a while, I became familiar with the language, with the tones, with everything. And in the end, I really loved the Italian language. And luckily, I still have a lot of contact with Italians. So I get a chance to speak Italian. And I still do quite a lot of reading in Italian. So that was great. But yes, all of our studies were in Italian. The exams were all in Italian. Unlike in New Zealand, a lot of the exams, in fact, I think the majority of them, are, oh, the word escaped me, oral exams. So very few are written. So again, you have a choice of which language you want to do the exam in, but most of us will do it in Italian. Or if we do have a lecturer who is an English speaker, then we can elect to do it in English as well, or any other language for that matter.
So that's quite a challenge in itself, apart from the content.
It was, yes. I remember having one lecturer. I won't say which country he was from, but he asked, would you like to do the language, well, the exam in English? So I said, yeah, fine, that'd be great. So he asked me a question. I hadn't the faintest idea what he was saying. I had never heard him speak English. I'd only ever heard him speak Italian. So I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So I just had to ask him, look, do you mind if I have the exam in Italian? I don't want to say I can't understand what you're saying, but anyway, he graciously agreed to that, and so I had the exam in Italian. But yes, you have to make some choices there. Mm.
So you find yourself getting quite immersed in the Italian culture.
Very much so. I mean, it was up to each individual. You could stay in your own little cocoon if you wanted to and just mix with English-speaking people. I chose to reach out and mix with Italian families and Italian students. I just found that was most helpful for getting competency and fluency in Italian.
And, I mean, you were there to extend yourself anyway,
yes,
weren't you?
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
It did have some moments. For the most part, the first 6 months in a classroom, I mean, it was just a blur, really. I'm not too sure that I understood anything. But it simply meant that you had to do a lot of work outside of the classroom to think, okay, I've got to find some book. I've got to read this up in English. But then after a while, something happens. It just clicks, and you think, gosh, I can understand what that guy's saying. And more than that, I can actually respond to him as well. So that was a really good point.
So how long were you there for?
My first lot, I was there for 3 years, and then I had a subsequent time there when I went back to do doctoral studies.
Right. So, you know, visiting Rome is always special for any Catholic. Mm. So the last time you were there was just a few years back?
The last time I was there was just a few months back.
Oh.
I was there in July of this year. I was actually en route to Ireland. I belong to commission for the new lectionary for Australia, Ireland and New Zealand. So I'm on this commission, and Bishop Steve from Auckland is also the New Zealand member. So we had a meeting in Dublin. So en route to Dublin, I called into Rome.
As you do.
As you do, because I love Rome, and because of the Jubilee year, I wanted to do some of the Jubilee experiences. So I was very lucky to be able to do three of the Holy Doors. And then I stayed with a friend of mine who is a Salesian priest. I never knew him until 2 years ago, where we met here in Hamilton. He's an Indian priest, Salesian, and he was president of a university in Darjeeling for 24 years. He had just retired from that position and was having a bit of sabbatical. So he found himself in Hamilton. I met him at something. And as you say, if you want to have a few days in Taupo, please come to Taupo. I was parish priest there then. So would have been a few days later, he rang me and said, look, could I come and stay with you? I said, of course you can. So he did. I thought it might only be for a couple of days, but he ended up 3 weeks with me. And it was a wonderful time. Again, the experience of meeting a priest from another country, another culture, another language. But he was just so wonderful. He was a wonderful guest. He's since been appointed to their general house in Rome. And so I went and visited him there. And I stayed a week with him there. And we had a great time just doing the sights of Rome and then catching up with friends that I've known from Rome from my study days.
Oh, so you got to be a little bit of a tourist.
I did. It was very hot, so it was less of a tourist because you wanted to run from one air-conditioned room to another. But it was still exciting. There were exciting times. Lots of tourists. And I managed to do the things that I had chosen to do while I was there.
Yes, I was in Rome last summer. Their summer. With my two daughters, and oh yes, absolutely amazing experience. It was my second visit.
Okay.
And yeah, it's just, you can't even describe it.
Mm.
So much to take in, and so, especially for the young people, you know, the history and the age of things, because New Zealand's such a young country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was great. While I was there, the New Zealand pilgrims for the Jubilee for Youth were there. So Father Isaac Franson, who had been at the cathedral, he was there with a group of pilgrims from Auckland and Hamilton. So it was great to be able to catch up with them and to do some of the pilgrimage sites with them as well.
Yeah, so quite a diverse experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then you got to go to Dublin, your lucky thing.
From there, I went to Dublin and we had the meeting for, it's called the Joint Lectionary Project. So there were bishops from Australia, Ireland and New Zealand, and then the representatives, my colleagues from those countries too. So it was a fantastic meeting. We got a lot of work done in a relatively short period of time. But then we also enjoyed Dublin. So.
Yeah, there's lots to enjoy in Dublin. Indeed, I know from experience too.
That's great. Yeah. Yes. So, I really enjoyed that as well.
And the hospitality of the Irish people is...
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Something, yeah, isn't it? So would you say of all your travels, both internally in New Zealand and externally over, you know, around the world, what's your favourite place been and why?
My favourite place would still be Rome. It became a second home for me, really. Once I had the language under my belt and felt very comfortable hearing Italian and speaking Italian, it just became a second home. I made a whole lot of Italian friends, also people from other countries, who our common language became Italian. So, and then, you know, just the tradition, the history, the beauty of Rome just captivated me. So if I got offered to go back to Rome, I would go back.
You'd jump at
it.
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. So this is the Ripple Results, your inside look at how the Catholic Development Fund transforms investment into impact. I'm joined today by Monsignor Trevor Murray, who shares many interesting insights into his current roles within the Hamilton Diocese. So, Monsignor, like a lot of people who work for the Catholic Church, you wear a few different hats. I understand that you currently hold two portfolios. You're the director of the National Liturgy Office, which is an agency of the New Zealand Catholic Bishops Conference. Correct. Quite a mouthful. And you're also the Catholic chaplain at Waikato Hospital.
Yes.
So just focusing on your director of National Liturgy role to begin with, can you break that down for us and help us understand a bit more about what it involves?
Sure. So the bishops have a number of agencies that help them in their task and in their ministry as bishops for New Zealand. One of those is in the area of liturgy. I was fortunate to be the inaugural director of the National Liturgy Office. It started back in 2006 or 2005, I can't remember now. I was asked if I would take that on, which I happily did. And it was exciting. They were really exciting times. The major work that I had at that stage was the production of the Roman Missal for use in New Zealand. So that became a major task in those years where I was first director. Then I wanted to get back into parish work, and Bishop Dennis, who was the Bishop of Hamilton at that stage, he acquiesced to my request to move back to a parish. So from the National Liturgy Office, I was sent to Waihee. So back into parish ministry, back into parish life, back into being with people as opposed to books. And again, I was so pleased to be able to do that. So a number of years have gone by, and just last year, 2024, I was asked again by the bishops if I would contemplate taking on the directorship again for a limited time, for 2 years. So after thinking about it, I thought, okay, I can do this. And so I'm back in that seat. I'm back as director, and now I have another task, the lectionary, that I'm having an integral part of with regard to New Zealand.
So the Bishops Conference is largely Wellington-based?
They do travel around.
Okay.
The office for the bishops is based in Wellington, but the bishops themselves, when they have their meetings, they meet in different dioceses, although I think once or twice the meetings are in Wellington.
Mm. Okay, so you work remotely, essentially, in that role.
I work remotely, yep. Mm.
Okay, wonderful. And then, of course, there's your role as chaplain at Waikato Hospital. While some might see that as being surrounded by sadness, I'm sure you view it as a privilege to support people during such a difficult time.
Absolutely. It is an incredible ministry. I was chaplain back in the 80s when I was at the cathedral, and then I've also been chaplain in different parishes that I've been in where there's a hospital and you're the only priest, so you become de facto chaplain for the hospital as well. But when I was appointed last year to the team, the chaplaincy team, so there are three Catholic chaplains. I'm the priest chaplain there. There's also a religious sister who is on the team, and then a laywoman who makes the third member of the Catholic chaplaincy. So we work together, and I find it incredibly worthwhile ministry, a very sacred ministry, and that word can be used so freely, but I just do find it such a holy time for holy encounter, especially when people are very, very vulnerable and sick or dying. And then when a patient does die and you deal with their families, and again, that's a very traumatic time for them. So I enjoy that that ministry, that task, that
and
opportunity.
Do you deal, you also look after a family of a sick person if they need some spiritual guidance at that time, just reaching out to you?
Yes, we do. Mainly we will do referrals. Mm-hmm. So if they're from a parish in Hamilton, mm-hmm. then we'll make a referral to their parish, or if they're in a parish in another town, another city, then we'll make a referral there. So we tend not to have an ongoing relationship with the patient outside once they've left the hospital. Although we do have, in rare occasions, we do that.
Okay. Yes. And have you had many experiences where a person has gone away from their faith and come back to it at that time? They want to be given the last rites and blessed?
Yes. When I compare hospital chaplaincy at Waikato from the 80s to now, they are two completely different entities. Back in the 80s, I mean, everyone, if they were sick, if they were dying, they would ring the priest before they'd ring the doctor. They would make sure that the priest was there for anointing, confession, last rites, as it was called back then. But that's changed now. So many people, while the parents or grandparents may still be faith, at least practicing their faith, their children, grandchildren aren't. And so that can become a huge difficulty. So it would be rare now that a family would ring the priest to anoint somebody first. So there's been a complete change with regard to that, even up in the hospital. So I'm 24/7. I'm on call 24/7. Again, comparing it to the 80s, you'd be called out without any doubt at least once a night. But now, you know, I could go the whole week and not be called out. And then, you know, during the day, we would get some calls. But it's very much a changed ministry. But the times that you do meet up with people who are making a turn, a change, wanting to return to the church, those are very special times. So I have in mind a number of people that I could tell stories about that would be just so delightful.
I'm sure. So what do you find most rewarding about that role?
Being there with vulnerable people. Being in hospital can be really scary for people. It's another language. All of the doctors and nurses, who I have to say, without question, are fantastic. Their ministry is just such a blessed ministry, and they do it so well under lots of tension. So, for the person in the bed, it can be daunting when they don't understand what the doctor or the nurse is saying, when it's just difficult for them. They're frightened. So that is a real opportunity for chaplains to step in there and be a bridge between the patient and the doctor, the medical staff, or bridge between families and medical staff. It's very rewarding.
I'm sure it is, yes. So just before we start to finish our session, which has gone so fast because it's so interesting talking to you, do you have a particular highlight or two from your experience in your various roles that you might like to share?
Gosh, it'd be hard to pick anyone. But if I was, it would be my time of study in Rome. Mm. I love books. I love reading. I love study. So a highlight of my 44 years would, in fact, be my time of study, especially in Rome.
Do you ever go back to Whakawero? I hope I can say this right.
Whakawero. All the time. My family still live in Rotorua. And, although it's changed a lot, so much since I was a child, it's still where I was brought up. And it's still
home.
A place that is home. And I see my great-grandmother every time I walk there. I see all these old people that I was brought up with and all the young people that, you know, my age. I see them as I walk into the village.
Yes, I've been there a few times myself, and it does have that wonderful community feel to it.
It was a great place to be brought up. Great place to be a child. It was so adventurous.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, how wonderful. So if any of our listeners would like to connect with you, if they have a sick loved one or just want some support, how would they go about doing that?
So our If they went to the diocesan website, there's a page there for the hospital chaplaincy. It has the name. Or the easiest way would be to ring the hospital and to be asked to be put through to the Catholic chaplain, and they'd get me more than likely.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be the easiest way.
Okay. That's perfect. Thank you so much for joining me today, Monsignor.
Great.
And thank you for providing the listeners with such an excellent insight into where life and faith has taken you. Your faith and the service you've provided and continue to provide to our diocese are invaluable. Thank you for everything you do. We're very fortunate to have you. Take care and go well.
Amen. Thank you, Marian.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.